Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the honor that's due your name. Lord, we are just so thankful today for you waking us up this morning in our right mind with the activity of our hands and feet and able to get up. And we just thank God. He is so good to us. So good, so good. Good morning. Good morning, audience. We are so blessed to be here today. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in him. I will praise his name. I will praise his name. I will praise his name. Good morning, honey. How are you today?
For us, because he always has something good, and I love him, and I praise him, I appreciate him, and I appreciate you for just allowing yourself to be used by him to bring forth his word through these testimonies that you are hosting each week and the words that you give us each week. God bless you. God bless everyone in the audience. Amen.
Well, honey, I'm just so happy that the Lord has allowed us to be able to host this broadcast. It's something that I feel that it really is needed. We need to hear the things that God is doing for his people, and not only for his people. I always say this, that he's blessing everybody. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above, and so we look at it and we think that sometimes it's the Lord's blessing us, but know that every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. I'm so excited today. My cousin, my new cousin, as a matter of fact, he just married my one of my younger cousins, and this seems to be such a man of honor and peace every time I see him or talk to him. I've only seen him a couple of times, but maybe just once. But every time I hear about him is all good. His mother-in-law is crazy about him. So that's a good sign when your in-laws can speak good things about you. That says a lot for your character. And before we get started, babe, could you give us the opening prayer?
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you, and we just thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice, and we are glad in it. For you have blessed us. You have kept us. You are keeping us. Because your word is true, you are faithful. There is none like you on all the earth and all of heaven. And we just yield ourselves to you right now, Lord God, to be used of you. We yield our ears to hear what you're saying to the church. We yield our spirit to be moved by your will. And, Lord, we just love you. We honor you. Bless this day, bless this broadcast, every ear that hears, every speaker that speaks, every caller that will call in, every testimony that is given. Lord, these testimonies are offerings of praise and thanksgiving to you. And we know that when praises go up, blessings come down. So we just thank you because we know that there's just perpetual blessings for your people, especially when they will take the time out and say thank you and to let the world know what you have done because we know that you dwell in the midst of praise. Father, right now, let the words that go out today be words of healing, words of refreshing, words of deliverance, words that will lift up bowed down heads, words that will encourage the discouraged. Lord, words that will bring hope to those that think they are hopeless. But we know, Lord God, that we are not without hope, because as long as you are with us, there is no weapon that is formed against us that can prosper. In the name of Jesus, heal and deliver. Lord God, hallelujah, just do your will in our lives and in the lives of your listeners. Let testimonies that are not even have come to fruition yet, Lord God, but let the words that come out today spark something in someone to just raise their faith level, their confidence level, their trust level in you, so that they can walk in faith a little bit farther and then come back with the testimony of their own, Lord God, how that by trusting you, you have proven yourself again mighty in their lives. You are the one, Lord God, that has brought us to where we are. You are the one that has healed us. You are the one that has kept us, kept our mind. Some of us would have lost our mind, except, Lord God, your grace and mercy has kept us. Hallelujah. And we just appreciate you for that. We don't take it lightly that we woke up this morning. It wasn't the alarm clock, but it was your faithfulness. We don't take it lightly that we rose from our beds this morning. It wasn't just our muscles and the parts of our body, but it was your faithfulness that caused us to be able to do these things, even to have a roof over our head. Lord God, we thank you for everything. Your word said to give thanks in everything, because it is the will of God concerning us. It is your will that we be blessed. It is your will that we have every one of our needs supplied, because you said in your word that you would supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Lord God, let that promise, hallelujah, and those words just ring in the hearts and the minds of these listeners all week and every day, that they will know that you are their source and they are not without hope, and that they will be blessed. We declare it is done in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And we stand in agreement with that prayer. We just are so grateful today. We just want to say that we thank the Lord for the main host, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, for allowing us this time to give God the glory and the honor that's due his name. And Sister Bernard is the host of New Destiny Ministries, where she every day faithfully is on the broadcast at this same number, the same calling number, giving God the glory and giving ministers the chance to expound the word of God. Just so honored that the Lord allowed us to meet when we lived in Georgia. And just a blessing knowing she and her family, her grandchildren and her niece that she raised, just lovely girls, and a son, that a grandson that is probably going to do great things in the sports field. Nino, I remember him when he was young man. But anyway, we are so grateful again for our cousin David being our guest today to give an awesome testimony about the faithfulness of God and about the way that God can take you from one state that is so bad and put you in a state that glorifies him and lets the world know exactly what he can do for them. So I'm going to call David, see if David is on the line. David, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. How you doing, Cousin Billy?
Amen. I am good. How are you this morning?
I feel good this morning. I feel real good. You know, I woke up and I was kind of nervous about it, but, you know, I'm all prepared and I'm ready to speak my testimony.
Amen. It is nothing to be nervous about, like I told you. This is very casual. Sometimes I think too casual, but I'm just being me, and that's what I told you yesterday, that you're telling your story, so it's not something that you have to, you know, really be nervous about, because God has done great things in the lives of his people, and, you know, we just want to give him the glory. That's what we're here for, just to give him the glory and the honor that's due his name, and to let the world know exactly what our God is doing. The world is in such a state now, being from Chicago, we see all of the deaths and the fear that is in the city now, the things that are going, not only in Chicago, but Detroit, all over the world. I was reading,
right.
I was reading something, and it was saying about the worst cities to visit in the United States, and they named all of the major cities, but yet in the midst of all of that, God is still doing great things for his people. And so I saw that you were on, and I was just saying how you are such a blessing to your mother-in-law. Phyllis is always saying such great things about you and how she appreciates, you know, the person that you are. And I haven't gotten a chance to know you that well, but we will get a chance to, you know, to know each other. But just tell us a little bit, before you really get into your testimony, just tell us a little bit about David.
Well, I'm David Thompson Jr., and I was born in Durham. I grew up in the church, you know, with a couple of Christian schools, with the Mount Zion Christian Academy, and made all B's in Bible class. You know, I'm a real outspoken person. I'm always smiling. I'm a happy person. I'm always willing to help people. And I'm a real hard worker. I take pride in what I do, and that's basically about it for that.
Amen. Well, what about your family? Yeah, I know that your mom is a pastor. So it's so
yes, ma'am.
Your mom is a pastor. So you said that you were raised in the church. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, ma'am. I have four brothers. One of them deceased, and I have a baby brother that's probably going to the Marines, and my second baby brother is currently living in Asheville. He's a psychiatrist. And then my second oldest brother, he's currently working doing landscaping. My mother is a minister. My father, he's retired from the city of Chapel Hill. I have four kids and a whole bunch of nieces and nephews. And I'm really, ma'am.
I said, I can imagine with all those brothers.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, I'm encouraging to them and try to stay, you know, be a good influence on them about keep staying in school. And I do speak upon God to them. And anytime I talk, you know, I try to, you know, carry the word of God out to people, you know. I'm working on a major change in my life myself. It's not easy as talking about it, you know. You know, I mean, the devil comes to me because I was one of his main soldiers at one point in time in the streets, and anything he said, do, I was down to do it. But, you know, with the help of the Lord, you know, he came upon me and just molded me, just molded my body all over again.
Amen, David. Amen. Well, you can go into your testimony. Like I always say, once we start talking about our life and where we came from, we are in our testimony. So you can go on and continue and let the world know what the Lord has done for you.
Okay. Well, it was times that, you know, I was part of a street gang that come from Chicago. And in the midst of those things, you know, doing gangbanging things come upon. I was gunned down in 2003 behind gang violence. I was shot in the leg, and the bullet entered my leg, and it exploded and snapped my bone in half. And I was falling to the ground. The dude shot two times in my head, and the bullet went through my face, and it thrashed through my nerves. The doctor told me that, you know, I was lucky or blessed to still be able to be here and talk because, yeah, I just missed my nerves. And I was blessed to still be here. I could have took another step, and the bullet could have hit me in my head, or it could have hit my nerve, and I could have been dead or not able to talk. I was into the street gang, selling drugs, and messed around and started using drugs, and I was selling cocaine and marijuana and kept messing with it and thought it was cool. And I said, well, I'm going to try this bag, and I tried the bag and done too much of it, and I OD'd in 2003, too. I killed all my heart muscles. My heart really wasn't pumping. So my mama had rushed me to the hospital, and the doctor told me that if I do another bag of cocaine, I wouldn't make it. Well, I thought it was a game and all that, and went back out there and put my little flags back on and hit the corner selling drugs again and doing drugs. And, you know, I had a hole in my heart now. Got a heart murmur now, so I got a bad heart. It was one time where, same time the gang stuff, I was riding down the street, and I had my son. He was 2 months old in the car. I was driving a gold caravan. And not knowing who the rival was, my gang rival, not knowing which person it was, and as I was driving, all I seen was somebody hanging out the front window and caught back a 12 gauge and unloaded in my front windshield.
Mm-hmm.
With my son in the car, I managed to swerve off. And I not call it luck, I call it blessed. Then I was calling it lucky. But now, as I see it, it was all blessed. I was blessed behind that. I was down on a block where there was a lot of Jamaicans at, that the people I was involving myself around. And as I'm knocking on the door at 2 o'clock in the morning, the dude was peeking out the window. So I was looking. I had to open the door. So he opened the door, and he had the house dressed up. He had sheets hanging from the ceiling, like covering the walls up. And as I walked in, they come behind the sheets and put guns in my face. They caught the guns back and they went in my pockets, you know. So I managed to leave that after calling my mama, telling my mama, Ma, I need you to help me pay this money, like, pay this money back. And she was like, how much is it? And I was telling her. So she talked to the dude on the phone, and he was really not trying to bite it, but he eventually bit it, and he let me go out the house. I was stabbed in the face. I've been to prison 4 times. They told me if I catch another charge, I'll face 25 to life. And, you know, one of the main tragedies of my life was when my brother was murdered in his house in front of his kids. A couple of years, 2 years ago, he was gunned down. Just for nothing. You know, he was laid back, had his own business. He was just a family-oriented man, basically like I am. And he was gunned down, you know, in front of his kids, in front of his fiance. And it was just all through the grace of God that I'm still here. You know, I still pray. I read the Bible. I attend church. I was just recently married July 10th to, I call her Sunshine. She's my sunshine. She brought pride and joy into my life, to Felicia. And you know, I love her dearly. You know, since she's been in my life, a lot of things have changed. She laid the rules down. It's going to be me or the streets. So I said, I got to be with you. So since she's been in my life, you know, I've been out the streets. I've been going to church all the time and, you know, trying to find my employment. And, you know, we do things together as one, as a family. She's very encouraging, just like mother-in-law, you know. I love her, too. She always called, check her phone, and son, I love you. And, you know, stay strong. And she always, she's just there for me. She's always there for me, you know. Same as my mother and my father, too, and stuff like that. They just, we're outspoken people. You know, I wouldn't trade up for nothing in the world. I just thank God for them. You know, I thank God for Cousin Billy for letting me, you know, do my speaking, my testimony, you know, speaking it out. And
well, we just want the world to be encouraged. Now, you, how old were you when you started? Did you start getting high before you start selling drugs, or how did you get into the gang? You said the gang came from Chicago. What was the gang? A Disciple or?
Yes, man. It was Folk Nation. That was part of 274 BGD, Black Gangster Disciples. Yeah, I got involved with that at the age of 13 when I first got into the street gang, selling drugs, following behind the footsteps of people that was kin to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was falling behind them and wearing all jewelry and all the fancy clothes and shoes and, you know, just thinking I was really that dude, but really I wasn't doing nothing but labeling myself, messing myself up for society. And now, mm-hmm, as I got older, you know, if I catch a charge, then I'm getting 25 to life, so I can't do that time. So I know how to do all the bad things. I can do all bad things, and the thing is now I'm working on doing all good things, something that's new to me. I done worked for the devil all these years, and now it's time for me to lay that down and work for God, be a soldier for the Lord.
Yes, yes. I'm going to connect you with another cousin, Derek. He's a cousin in Chicago. He was a big, big-time drug dealer in Chicago. And now he is working for the Lord. And he actually, his testimony is that he, everybody whose life he touched and others with his drugs, he went back to get them, for them to serve the Lord. A lot of them are serving the Lord now, and I've had three of his friends on the broadcast that have turned their life over to the Lord, and that is so key. So you were 13 when you were out selling drugs. So were you still living at home when you were doing, when you
stole
your drugs?
No, I didn't do the high. I ain't said where I rest my head at, and I didn't want to put my mother in jeopardy. So, I mean, on my pager back then, you know, my pager go off, my cell phone go off, you know, I'd meet them down the street, or I have, you know, I might call my OG, say, hey, take this down there, and, you know, I would just make a phone call, like, to go drop this off here, drop this off there. I was more like a money pickup man because I was the youngest,
okay,
at the time, and I was the weight man. So I had the weight. You know, I wasn't major, but I had some weight. I was dealing with weight, so I didn't do much selling out the house. I'd meet down the street, or sometimes I'd be on the block, have a stash in the woods, and since I'm about to go over there and grab this and bring it back.
So the devil has you set up for destruction, to spend your life, and that's what he does, to spend your life in prison or dead. He tried to kill you on several occasions, but he was not successful. We thank God for that. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. So now, What church are you attending? Are you attending your mom's church?
I'm a member of Mount Calvary Land Church of Christ on Athens Avenue, but I go to Victory Over Commons with my wife, and sometimes I attend my mother's church, Bear Yeager. Yeah, I attend Bear Yeager. So I attend three different churches. I'm a member of Mount Calvary, though.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Amen. Well, your mother, I know that must have been hard for your mother to see you living that kind of life and doing things that you were doing, but I'm sure that it was her prayer that sustained you during that time that you were in your rebellion, because that's really what it was, in your rebellion. I'm sure that her prayers, the prayers of she and your dad, that sustained you. It's such a blessing to have saved parents that are able to cover us in prayer and lead us, try to direct us, because I'm sure at that point you were pretty independent of the things that they were telling you. Were you still attending church at that time? Were you still going to church?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I was in it. Now I go. So I used to do you know, drinking and stuff. So like on Saturdays, Fridays, I'd be sitting back drinking. Then Sunday come and I be like, man, I ain't going. I go next Sunday, you know. But then it just came up in me. I just had to cut that drinking back, you know. And God give us 6 days to do what we got to do, so we can at least give them that one day. So at the time I was in and out of church, but now I'm going every Sunday. I go every Sunday now.
Well, I am so happy that you and Felicia got married. I was a little disappointed that I wasn't able to be there for the ceremony. But just so happy that the Lord brought you guys together and allowed you to come into her life, and that she can be a help, because she, too, was raised in the church. Her grandmother was a pastor. And it's our family is a preachers and pastors and teachers. And so God knows how to join us together, doesn't he?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, he do.
Well, I am so thankful that you came on today, David, to let us know just what the Lord can do. He can protect us in our mess and guide us and direct us back to him. My son, Christopher, preached a message, and he's not walking in his calling, but I'm still believing God that he will eventually. But he said God will get out of you what he put in you. So
right.
God is going to get the glory out of our lives, and we can come peacefully or we can come, you know, kicking and screaming, wanting to do our own thing. But he is going to get the glory out of our life, and I thank God that he preserved you and allowed you to be here so that you could get a chance to serve him, because there's nothing like serving the Lord. It's nothing like living for God and being his, what did you say, being
his soldier.
His soldier, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Being his soldier. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. And Felicia is only your first blessing. Felicia and Kalisha, they're your first, well, not your first blessing, but in this phase of your life, they're going to be a blessing to you. I speak that over your life and Phyllis, and just being in the family. So we want us to be close. You know, we're the only three here in North Carolina, we're here, and so we want us to be a close-knit family, and, you know, just going to have you guys over for a little breaking of the bread.
Yeah.
Sometime. Okay. Well, amen, David. Thank you for coming on. Honey, did you want to say something? I know you've never met my husband.
I don't think I never met him.
No, you didn't.
Well, yeah, I just want to say welcome to the family, cuz.
Okay.
Glad to hear you on the broadcast this morning and your awesome testimony. I just appreciate how that one of the things that you said during as you begin to speak that really kind of just struck me, how you were saying that you try to make sure that you're carrying out the Word of God to your family, and that's something that's really an awesome attitude to have. In fact, we were just we have a group from our church that meets in our home on Wednesday nights, and we were discussing just this last Wednesday night how that Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth and that we are the light of the world. And with that kind of statement and attitude, it's like you're being that light, making sure that you're being that light for your family. And just keep that up, keep that attitude, keep that purpose in your life. And the Holy Ghost will help you in that. And that's just a great thing to do all that you can to try to carry out the Word of God in front of your family so that everyone who doesn't know Christ like they should will see your light, see what's going on with you, and they too will come running to Jesus just as you have. And I like that. I really like that. And I even like how you talked about how your wife just kind of laid the law down for you. You know, the streets are me. And the Bible says that a man that finds a wife finds a, I'll say something good. Sometimes King James words are a little difficult for today's time. So I won't call our wives things, but it does let us know that if you find a wife, you find something good. Even to the point, the Bible even goes on to say that husbands often are sanctified because of their wives. So you definitely found something good, and sounds like she also has been blessed with something good. So I just welcome you to the family and just really appreciate the testimony that you brought to us, because God is just faithful. He's good. He's ordained things for us. Before you were even a twinkle in your mom and dad's eye, God knew who you were. He knew you by name. He knew the path that you would take. He knew what you would need to be delivered out of, and he's just faithful in doing that. And I just thank you. Thank you for being faithful and sharing that testimony there. God bless you, and again, welcome to the family.
Okay, God bless y'all too.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, David. We appreciate you coming on and sharing your testimony on the broadcast. It's so important for us to get the word out, like you said, carrying the word of God. And we're not all called to be preachers, but we are all called to be ministers. So when we tell what the Lord is doing for us and in us, we're ministering to people. We don't know who our testimony will touch and help, you know, to look for God, to look to God. Well, if God can do that for David, the life that he's lived, and God can bless him with a family, he can bless him with a job, and God is going to bless you with the job. You keep doing the things that you're doing unto God, and God is going to take care of you. Just keep doing what you're doing, and God is going to bless you. He's going to bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you again, David. Do you have anything else that you want to say? I don't have any other callers. We still have plenty of time. Do you have anything else you want to share with us? I know you went to my DuCoin.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I went to, DuCoin and Muffinsboro. I went up there and stuff. Spent the last couple of days with my father-in-law and stuff like that. Met a lot of the family, Uncle Mike, Uncle Day-Day, and met a lot of them, chill with them. Then I met Aunt Wilma and Aunt Joanne. I met a lot of them and sat down and talked to them. Real smooth people. Yeah. I wanted to move up there tight, really, but my wife was like, she didn't want to go back up there because she's from up there. And I'm like, I don't want to be in Durham no more. I'm tired of Durham. A new scenery is something good to me. I like that country lifestyle.
I don't know if you know the story, but my father is from DuCoin. And I, growing up, we spent our summers there in DuCoin. And so that's how Felicia's grandmother and mother and uncle got down there was through my mom. And they're mad at us. They always say, if it wasn't for you all, we wouldn't know nothing about DuCoin. So, but God knows. Exactly. He knows what he's doing. And when we think that something is not good for us, God ultimately knows what's best and what the path that we're supposed to take. He directs our path, whether we know it or not. Even in some of the bad things that happen to us, God is always in control, and he gives us choices, and then we make the choices. But anyway, we grew up down in DuCoin, and I guess I never wanted to live there, but I'm from Chicago, so it was fun visiting, but I was always happy at the end of the summer to go back home. But you said you liked it down there, huh?
Yeah, because, I mean, Chicago is nowhere. Durham is nowhere near Chicago when it comes to violence. But,
right.
Durham is rough. It's pretty rough in Durham, as far as gangs and just being stupid, the stupidity out here. And up in DuCoin and stuff like that, Muffinsboro, I'm like, it's quiet. You hear the crickets, you hear the frogs at nighttime, you hear them gunshots, like talking about it. It's like you can sleep with your door open. That's what it feels like up there. I mean, just like the whole scenery. I mean, the air smell fresh and everything. I liked it. I didn't want to come back. Yeah.
Well, amen. I don't know if you'll be able to get Felicia back down there, but
she ain't going. She don't want to go back there. So, got to go with the flow.
Okay.
She don't want to move back up there. We'll find somewhere. God gonna lead us in the right direction.
Oh yes, he will. If the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. So we just ask God to give you direction. And before I let you go, I'm gonna ask my honey if he would pray for you.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't have
some more.
There you go,
Beth. Amen. We just thank you, Lord, for this time of sharing. And we just thank you for the testimony that has gone forth. We thank you, Lord God, for the life that has just been committed to you after being turned to you. We just know that you have our lives in your hand. Our times are in your hand. Your will for our lives will prevail because we are your children. We are your people. Father, right now, just bless this family, this household. Direct them. Keep them. Show them the way. Hallelujah. And just open up doors and avenues that you have for them that they can't even imagine. But because of their faith in you and because of your great faithfulness, we just expect, Lord God, on their behalf that just bountiful blessings will open up doors and the windows of heaven will open up, and there will be blessings that they won't even have room to receive. But because you have made them theirs, they will be able to receive and just share with the world your blessedness, your blessing. And, Father, we just ask that you just protect them. Protect them in the name of Jesus, that there will be no evil come upon them, that even the very appearance of evil, they will have the wisdom and the spiritual reaction to shun at its very appearance. Because we know, Lord God, that all we have to do is resist the devil, and he will flee from us. As they stand on you, as they stand on your word, as they stand on your promise, as they stand on just your faithfulness, Lord God, let there be just a manifestation of your glory in their lives, in the children, Lord God. Let them all just grow into who you would have them to be. And, Lord God, finally we ask that you just let your blood continually cover them, that there will be no weapon that is formed against them that shall be able to prosper. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. And just bless that ministry, Lord God, that is in their house. Let it come forth strong. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. We decree right now divine connections. We decree right now open doors. We decree right now every good and perfect gift to just be received in their lives. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Even that wound in that heart, Lord God, you are a healer. You are able to deliver. You are able to just renew every part of their body. Lord God, do that right now. Lord God, we speak healing. Hallelujah. And we count it as done. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey. David, are you called into the ministry?
Ma'am.
Do you have a calling on your life into the ministry?
I was always told that since I was like in my mid-teens. I mean, I just be like, I'd be going places and stuff, and it'd be like, it'd be me, when I could be around homeboys and stuff, but can you come here, sir? And I'd be like, why are you calling me out the crowd? Why you can't call them? And like, the Lord sent me down here to pray for you. And I'm like, pray for me? He was like, yeah. So we're going to pray, and he was like, you got a calling on your life. He said, don't run. Even my mother said the same thing, and she's a minister. She's like, me and my brother, I call him my twin because we look alike, Tyler. It's like, you and Tyler got a calling on y'all life. And, you know, when time comes, I mean, I just got to go with it. I can't run from it, can't resist it. I ain't going to be able to resist it. So, I mean, I'm just preparing myself now, you know. I'm kind of glad, you know, I feel good that I spoke this morning, you know, make it feel a little bit better. And, you know, I'm just going to prepare myself for it because I know one day it's going to be my day. I know one day going to be my day. I'm going to have my first lady. My wife sitting right beside me. She's going to She's going to carry me on with it.
Amen.
So, I pulled the Bible out last night. She had cooked some shrimp Alfredo and fish and stuff like that. So, in the midst of her doing that, you know, I had pulled the Bible out. You know, I was going to read because I had my son and Kalisha and my nephew, you know, my son over here. So, we was going to, you know, read a little bit, like start off with the kids. Like, I was going to start off with, like, Exodus chapter 20, you know, the Ten Commandments and stuff.
Right.
You know, just try to break it down to them and stuff. Something that's, it's nothing in the Bible that's small, but it's just like something like basic things they should already know about the Bible. So we're going to, like, we had already sat down, you know, we going to prayer and we're going to have, like, little Bible sessions over here. You know, with the kids and stuff, we're going to have it, you know, try to enlighten our knowledge on the Lord.
Amen. Well, that is key, what you just said, preparing yourself and getting yourself, you know, in the Word so that you can build yourself up so that when God calls you, you'll be prepared. So, amen, that makes me excited to know that you're open. I asked you that because I did feel like there was a, you know, now I'm not saying this is from God, I'm just saying that I was just, you know, feeling that maybe you had a call on your life and God is putting you in the place because there are so many young men, especially in Durham, and you know, before you and Felicia even decide to leave Durham, make sure that there's the will of God because there are so many young men there in Durham that need you to minister to them, if it's the Lord's will. Need you, you know, to see that because that fast money, it comes fast, but with it comes a lifestyle that sometimes our young men feel like they're trapped in. You know, they don't have a family that is in the church, so they don't know anything about church. But God can use you to draw young men and see because of don't try to change yourself. Be David. Don't try to be a preacher right. that you've seen or somebody that you admire. Let God use you the way that you are. And you
right.
will be able to reach people that are on, that are your peers or that have lived in that life and can look at you and say, if God is able to bring David out and then use him, he could do the same thing for me. So it'll be an encouragement to the people that you're around. So amen. Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Well, you married it. I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening.
I said you married into a family that, like I said, pastors and preachers and teachers and evangelists. So, and then your family, you have pastors and on your family side. So. God's going to use you. God's going to use you and Felicia, and I can see you doing great things for the kingdom of God. I can see you doing great things for the kingdom of God. Always stay encouraged. You need to talk to anybody. You know, you feel free to give us a call. And like I said, we will get, you know, closer. And, amen. Just thank God for your testimony. Thank God for your testimony. Yeah, my good cousin Felicia. All right. Well, thank you for calling in and giving your testimony, David, and you have a blessed day.
Okay, same here. Have a blessed day.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
That is awesome, honey. That young man was able to come on and give that awesome testimony of how God just delivered him through different gunshots and stabbings, and, you know, even though he's been in prison, just allow him to be able to come out and be a testimony. That's your life is your testimony, but that's a great testimony.
Amen. It just goes to show you how that there's absolutely nothing too hard for God. It goes to show you that when he does have a call on your life, or when he does have you just in his mind and in his hand, that there is nothing, as the Bible even says, no weapon that is formed against you. I mean, even to the point of gunshots, imprisonment. I mean, gunshots, multiple gunshots to the head, seemingly at point blank, that could not take him out, because God has something for him. He's God said he's mine. I think about one of the songs that Andre Crouch sang years ago, that's based on the Bible, said, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord." And when he has declared that, then there's nothing that Satan can do to take that away. I mean, just as when we look at even the life of Job, all that Satan did to Job, but God still had his hand on him and let Satan know that, okay, he's mine. You can only go so far. And Satan was not able to do anything to actually destroy Job. Satan was not able to do anything to destroy David. And in the end, David is still the Lord's. And that's just an awesome testimony of just who God is, how powerful he is, how faithful he is. And if God has spoken to any of you to let you know that he is, that you are his, and he has spoken to many of you like that, rest assured, you can rest on that. Then if God's got you, nothing can happen to you. So you may have, but you might not have to go through everything that you're going through if you just go on and give your life to God now. Because he's keeping you through all these things. How about just going on and get with God now and not going through all of those things?
Amen. We were on the same mind. I was thinking this morning as I was kind of meditating about the broadcast, and the Lord just impressed on me. We have not a lot of callers, but we can see that people listen to us on the internet and they tune in to the archives or call into the archives and hear the things that are said on the broadcast and the testimonies. Testimonies are very important to the building up of oneself. And the Lord just kind of, I was just thinking this morning that we should offer salvation to our listening audience. An altar call, per se, to ask if you want to, and it's a personal thing. It's not something that, it will be witnessed, but when you make a personal, when you make a commitment or give your life to God, it's a personal thing. It's not something that has to be done. I know that in the church, especially in the church surrounding, you're surrounded by people, but you don't have to be with people to make a personal commitment to God. And so that God really put that in my spirit today. And I see that our Evangelist Adrienne is on the line. So I just thank God that she gets up early in the morning. This is early in California. And she is so faithful to tune in when she gets up. And I thank God for her tuning in this morning. Are you there, Evangelist?
This Prophet Lewis, who line you just unmuted?
Oh, how are you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
I knew that the number was different, but I was just, amen. Thank God for you joining us this morning.
Did you
get a chance to hear the testimony of the young man that was just on?
No, I just caught the tail end of it, the tail
okay.
end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. A young man that was in the world and doing, he said that he was a soldier. What kind of soldier did he say, honey? Diligent. I can't remember. Soldier for the devil when he was out in the world. And so he's made his
right.
mind up that he's going to be that kind of soldier for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a blessing. To hear his testimony, been shot, been stabbed, been in prison, but God. Amen. So I'm so delighted that you tuned in with us this morning. And,
yes, ma'am.
Did you have something that you wanted to say this morning?
Yes. Is he still on the line or did he hang up?
He hung up. Yes.
He hung up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I caught the part where he was saying about, you know, wanting to do the Bible studies in the home and training up the kids. Well, all that's biblical. You know, the Bible
right.
tells us to train the child so that when they old, they will not err. And then if, you know, in the reading of the Exodus, you find out that God told them to teach the children and, you know, to put it on their neck, around their neck and in front of their eyelids that they always see the word of God. So what he's doing is a God thing. And I remember when we was young, we used to sit around the table to sit down to eat and whatnot. And we went around, you know, quoting Bible verses when we were very young. And I don't know what happened, but one day everybody was able to go sit and eat wherever they wanted to. But I remember as a child, that's how it started. And, you know, sometimes we go through things needlessly, and I know I was one of those that suffered because I didn't have a relationship with God, really didn't understand him when I was a child because of things that I was suffering. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have a calling all my life, I didn't know what a calling was. And the church that I grew up, you know, my father was the pastor, and I used to see him preach and whatever. So preaching never interested me. Matter of fact, I would try to go to sleep when he started preaching, but he would yell so loud that, you know, that would wake me up. And then one day I did fall asleep, and my mama came back there and slapped me so loud it shocked my dad. He stopped preaching for a second, so I never did fall asleep in church again, but preaching, it never moved me. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to have nothing to do with church. It was like I was forced to go because my daddy was the pastor, and then my mom was deaconess or whatever they call them. Whatever she was in church, she was faithful. We went every day, and then on Saturday we had to clean up the church, so a lot of my time was consumed around the church, and I despised it. So I went on through life doing my thing and whatnot, and later on, you know, when I start getting in trouble, things started happening. And then I went and visited my sister church. And in my sister church, it was different than the church that I came out. And I remember that was my first touch and encounter from God, and I knew I changed because I used to hated my little brother. We would fight and kick and scratch, but when I came home this night, I didn't bother him.
I loved them even more, and I didn't know why. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, what happened? So I asked some questions about how do you know if you're saved? I mean, not knowing what saved meant. I said, well, how do you know if you're saved, or how do you know if you've been changed? And all they would tell me, well, you know, you'll be different and all this, but I wasn't getting a concrete answer. And this happened right at 17. And, you know, at 17, I was doing my thing. I was hustling, sleeping around and whatever. But I ended up joining the military and went overseas, got kicked out the Army, went to jail. When I went back to Europe, I went to prison, and that's when I asked God, hey, look, I mean, I heard about you growing up, but if you can help me get out of here, I'll serve you till I die, not knowing the extent of what I was asking him, serving him till I die. And when I got out of prison, Europe, got back to America, got back to selling drugs, and that's when the shootouts happened and, you know, the guns being pulled to the head. So I kind of feel like that young man, but I didn't know that it was a calling. And running, yeah, I ran without knowing that I was running. But it was one day when I went to look in the church for some women, because I knew this way you could go get a nice crop. I went looking for a church woman. Yeah, I mean, I put on the good duds to smell good, fixed the fro real nice, and went in there, and, yeah, I'm looking and scouting which ones I'm fit to holler at. And I don't remember the name of the sermon, but I remember the preacher saying something about your arms being too sharp to box with God. I don't think that was the name of the message, but I heard that's the only part that I ever remembered that stuck in my head. And the next thing I know, I feel a tear wanting to drop, but I'm so tough and thick and, you know, hard that I say, oh, no, you ain't fit to make me cry in front of these women. Now, why did I tell God that? Next thing I know, they were picking me up off the floor. Snot was all over my nice duds. My afro had got dented in, and at that point, I didn't care who was looking at me, but I knew something had happened, something that happened. And from that point, I began to read my Bible, and I began to search these things out to see where they so. So the more I began to hunger and thirst, he began to quench that thirst, where I would hear what the preacher say, but I would go and look up that scripture. Yeah, you said this. And sometimes I found them, you know, they misquoted whatever, and I come back and say, hey, you know, you said this kind of wrong, and you said this, and then, you know, you said this about this one, and that didn't happen that way, and I saw it begin to become a problem. And a lot of people don't like to be corrected when they, you know, been in ministry for so long, they think they're God's man. But I thank and praise God that he put it in me, not just believe what the preachers say, but to go in that Bible and search them things to see whether they sold, you know, because one of the sayings that a lot of preachers were saying when I came up, if you make one step, God will make two. Well, it sounds good. He might actually do that, but it ain't scripture. And they were saying the scripture said this, and I'm like, it ain't nowhere in there. And then I was hearing that, you know, it's three gods, and I'm like, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I'm like, no, it don't say that. So that was a lot of mispronunciations of who God was and what his word said once I start reading it for myself. And so I'm just, anybody listed in the archive, you have got to study according to what Paul told Timothy for yourself. And then you're showing yourself approved unto God. Then he tells you to rightly divide the word of truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Then he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. It wasn't until I learned the truth of God that I became free from sex, became free from drugs and alcohol, became free, the main character, I became free from myself, because myself was the biggest hindrance in my life, because when I told a lie, I had to believe it first. Once I believed it, then I could sell it to anybody. So once I got rid of self, then, and only then, were I actually free to do the things of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I wasn't able to reach David again, but I was sharing with him that I can see that there's a call on his life, and the way that he rebellious for the enemy, that he can be that way for the Lord. So I'll have him to go into the archive so that he can hear those words that were meant for him. And thank God for you calling in. I've enjoyed your pictures on Facebook.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I was trying to, I put on Facebook, you know, about the activities of the broadcast. And be sure, if you would, to post on your Facebook page about the broadcast, and so we can get as many testimonies as we can get into the broadcast. We just want God to be glorified, and as I always say, want the world to know what our God is doing for us and in us and through us. And
that's right.
So
amen.
We used to sing a song when I was in the young adult choir. Everybody don't know who Jesus is. We're still in that time where people don't know who Jesus is, and we're the mouthpiece for him. So we just want to get the word out.
Amen.
Thank God for you calling in and sharing with us. And I'm sorry that David hung up. A lot of times the guests will hang up after they get through. But I guess I have to tell them to hang on. Don't hang up immediately after they get through with their testimony, to hear what other testimonies will come forth. So thank God for you. Do you have any announcements, or you're going to be speaking somewhere?
I'm working on an engagement, but it has not been haven't went by my pastor yet. So as soon as he gives the okay, then I will post it. And you know me, I do record any time that I speak, and I will put it on my page. So as soon as it becomes available, I will make it available, and you can link it if you would like.
Oh, of course, I always do, and I love. But make sure you post it on the group page also, so that we can share it with everyone that's in the group. The hurricane. And honey, did you want to say something to Brother Mike?
Just praise the Lord, sir. It's good to hear your voice. I don't always get a chance to.
Yes,
well, I'm just glad to hear of your how God is working in your life too, and the encouraging words that you gave that I'm sure Brother David will get an opportunity to hear. I know Billy will make sure that he does hear that. I just always appreciate how God has brought people through the things that they have come through. I was sharing that too long ago, how that I used to think that I really didn't have a testimony because of the fact that I was a pew baby. I just never was away from the church per se, even though spiritually and attitude-wise I wasn't always there, but physically I was always there. And a lot of things I didn't do just out of fear. Fear of having to face what would have happened at home if I had been caught up in some things. But how that even later in life, that fear turned into not just a fear of those things, but a freedom not to have to be caught up in those things. But for those who have gone through that walk, and that how God has
kept them and blessed them. I appreciate hearing those testimonies because people need to hear all of our testimonies. And I just thank God for just a miracle. I think salvation as well as life is a miracle, how that God has just kept us, saved us. None of us are worthy, but we've all been counted as worthy by God. He said, you know, our faith became counted as righteousness, just as it was with Abraham. And not that we did anything. I hear people talk about how God looked down on me and he saw something good in me and he saved me. Well, when God looked at you, what he saw wasn't good. What he saw was a need to save you. And through his love, grace, and tender mercy, then he did save us. Not because of what he saw good, but what he saw as a need and what he saw through his loving eyes. And then he made us good. I just thank God for you and your testimony and your ministry. And just we just bless you and we'll keep you in prayer as you go forth. And do the same for us, sir.
Yes,
definitely. I'm so glad that you called in today, my brother. And I thought that you were on when I was saying that the Lord had really impressed on me that we should give an invitation to salvation. And if you don't mind, would you do that for us?
Okay. You want me to pray or?
I want you to offer salvation to whomever is on the line. We sometimes give these testimonies, and we have people come on and give testimonies. But it's a personal thing. As I said a little earlier, it will be recognized because if you really give yourself to God, if you really accept Him as your personal Savior, then your life is going to change. As you witnessed yourself at 17.
Yeah.
With your brother, it's a personal thing. Yes, you were at church when it happened, but it was something that was personal between you and God. So I want to make a practice of this, just offering salvation to whomever is on the line, whoever will call into the archives and hear the testimony and say, you know, I need that, God. I need that kind of God in my life, and this will be the beginning of their walk with God.
Amen. Well, the Word of God tells us, whosoever will, to let him come. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the book of Romans, it declared that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. It is impressed upon us through the Spirit of God that he says every man, woman, boy, and girl have need of a Savior. But oftentimes we don't know how to come to this God or how to ask him. He said, ask and it shall be given. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. All you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He declared you shall be saved, but it don't stop there. He says after that, then you must be baptized with water. After receiving the baptism, he tells you, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But the state of mind that you have to change is the way that you're walking, the way that you're talking. These things will change upon your pure confession. You confess and forsake the things that you do, and God will give you power. He say, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. Power to do what? To live right. Power to talk right. power to treat your neighbor right. It is only after you have confessed your faults to God and turned from the things that you were doing, in other words, turned 180, not 360, 360
yeah.
placing you right back in the same direction that you're going now. So the road that you're going down now is not the road that God has chosen for your life. So you want to turn 180 degree, which we call in the army an about face. And as you begin to go in the direction that God has patterned for your life, it is then that he takes you under his wings and leads you from darkness into the marvelous light. But it's all done by faith with your confession to Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, man of God. Thank you for calling in. And we're going to now, as they say in the church, transition. We were, my husband and I have a, actually it's my husband, we have a life group that meets in our church on Wednesday. I mean, meets in our home on Wednesday. And we were talking about the Sabbath day and how the Lord really talked about us keeping it holy and how we've gotten away from that. We
yes.
were talking about how at one time you did nothing on Sunday but go to church. And I remember at home, my mom would have on the radio station. You couldn't listen to anything else but gospel music, you know, on Sundays. And so my husband is going to just talk a little bit about that Sabbath day of rest and how it's for our benefit,
yes.
for our refreshing.
Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. Man, I just want to share just a little bit. I was really touched by, there was a sermon series, I guess kind of a mini series, at my church that the title of that series was, they kind of keyed on the phrase, and I think this was actually a teaching in a book, and I don't recall the author, but 24-6, and it's kind of a play on the terminology that we have in modern-day times about 24-7. You know, people talk about being, you know, this and that, and it's, you know, 24-7, on call 24-7, or that's the way I am, 24-7. And we really have gotten to where this world, this society, has become a 24-7 society. That's the cycle of things. And in other words, it's nonstop. And nonstop is not necessarily a good thing. But the terminology that they used during this message series was living on a 24-6 cycle in a 24-7 society. And we have to learn to do that. And, of course, the takeoff from that was that how in Genesis 2, starting with chapter, with verse 2, and it said that on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day, and from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. And now we know that God is the omnipotent God. He doesn't need rest per se, but he did at the end of that creation. He rested, and that word ended his work. Just simply means, it's from a Greek word that, or from the Hebrew word that actually just means to be complete. So as of the seventh day, God had completed all of his creative acts, and it goes on to say that he rested, which, again, that rested is another Hebrew word that actually literally is a word called Shabbat, which to me sounds very, very similar to the word Sabbath. And I think that as we investigate that further, we'll see a correlation. But that simply means to cease or to desist from labor. And it then goes on to say that he blessed and sanctified the seventh day because in it he rested from all that he had created. And then that's just a little bit of a background scripture, scriptures that were used. But then we also look at the real focus of what they spoke during that message series out of Exodus, the 20th chapter, which I think someone referenced that earlier. Brother Mike, I think you referenced Exodus 20 earlier in your speaking. And in verse 8 it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And that's important. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And that passage of Scripture, one of the things that was brought out during that presentation was that particular passage of Scripture that I just read is what was embedded in what we know as the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments being kind of the most prominent representation that we know of God's law that he gave his people, Israel. When Moses went up into the mountain and God etched them in stone, literally, this was one of those commandments. But then we looked in perspective at the commandments. So we know we all, I don't know if we can all recite again at our age now all 10 of the commandments in the order. I know as children in Sunday school and in vacation Bible school, we used to have to learn that and be able to state them in order and all of this. But when we look at the scheme of these 10 commandments, there were a lot of what we call really big commandments, things like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. So many of these commandments that were given that are very important and very premier, just keys to life, in God's kingdom, are one-liners. You know, a lot of the what we call big commandments are just one-liners. But the commandment about the Sabbath day actually encompassed several verses. It was written actually in more of a paragraph form than just a one-liner. So what that says is that God placed a very high degree of importance on the Sabbath day. And we know that Sabbath day is a day of rest. Now, we know that there are certain groups that now will state that our day of worship absolutely has to be on the day we know as Saturday. And we're not going into that kind of discussion because we know that the majority of Christendom does their day of worship on Sunday. The whole point or the spirit of the Sabbath is what we want to address, because Jesus even stated, I think in Mark 2:27, he let us know that man was not made for the Sabbath. So, you know, the center thing here is not necessarily what particular day it is. Even when Jesus spoke with the woman who just was so moved by him and ran and told everyone that, you know, come see a man that has told me everything that I've done. But as Jesus began to challenge her in her lifestyle, she would kind of throw off knowing that, you know, who he was, or that he was at least a great prophet, a teacher. He said, well, you know, some say we're supposed to worship here, but, you know, where do we worship? When do we worship? And Jesus let her know that the main thing is that the day's going to come and is now, and I'm saying to the audience, we are now at that time that worship is to be done in spirit and in truth. So a lot of the technical things of worship that we used to know as tradition, that's really out the window. It's time for us to be in spirit and in truth. That's kind of a tangent, and so let me go back to the Sabbath. The Sabbath being created, Jesus said, a man is not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is created for man. And he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, what is the purpose of the Sabbath? The Sabbath is a day of rest, a day of rest and refreshing. I think even in Exodus, I think the 31st chapter, it talked about in, I think, verse maybe 16, I think in verse 16, 17, it said, it shall be a sign between me and the children of Israel, for in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The Sabbath day is a day of refreshing. If we're caught up in a 24/7 cycle, like the world has just kind of sucked us into, then we won't have the rest and the refreshing that we need, that was ordained by God. And for that reason, we can look at what's going on in a lot of our lives. A lot of our lives are filled with stress-related illnesses, and so many of the illnesses are related to stress. Maybe not, just pressure. There's just a pressure of all that we have to do. We just think, I hear people talk about, I just need another day in this week, or I need another, there's not enough hours in the day. Well, actually, they are. God, in his infinite wisdom, created the hours just what they were supposed to be, what a day is, what a week is, what a month is. And everything that he created, there were some cycles to it, and those cycles were very, very precise. And the most important cycle
especially to man, is that cycle of 6 days. In 6 days, we should do all that we have to do, and then on the seventh day, I think, as our pastor put it in his teaching, that we should just rest in God, and he used the two P's of pray and play. In other words, just the play being the relaxation, you know, not concerned about the things of this world, but just enjoying family, just family getting together, not doing much except having fellowship, and even more important than that, time to, even though the Bible lets us know that men aren't always to pray and not to faint, but that seventh day, and in our case, in most cases, we use Sunday as that day to just spend time with God. Certainly, the congregations meet, so we start our day off with meeting with the congregation and then coming home, not coming home and starting up the lawnmower, not coming home and pulling up the notebook or the PC or the tablet or the iPhone or whatever, and getting an early start on your work week, but coming home and just resting in God, meditating on what words we heard in the message today, or in the songs that went forth, or the worship that went forth, or the testimonies that may have gone forth. And we can be just like as some of the disciples in the early church, that after the sermon, they said, "Did our hearts not burn?" You know, talking about the things that they have heard. So we should just let ourselves be refreshed. And when we do that, we'll find that we will actually be able to start that week. If we get in an actual practice of resting like we should, and God ordained that rest. Remember, he gave 10 commandments on those tablets of stone. The most lengthy of those is, or one of the most lengthy was that of keeping the Sabbath, keeping it holy, sanctifying it. In other words, when you sanctify something, it's made holy, it's made special, it's kept aside. So keep the Sabbath away from the cares and the toils of this world. And by doing so, we'll find that when Monday morning comes, we're more rested, we're sharper, we're able to make better decisions. Those of you that are in executive type and decision making types of work, things where or whether you just have to make certain choices, you'll have a sharper mind, you'll have a clearer focus on things if you honor the Sabbath. God put that in place for us, and it's important for us to walk in that. I mean, that seems like an insignificant thing, but when you take care of God's business, now, this isn't necessarily, well, this is not a scripture per se, but the principle of us taking care of God's business, doing what he said. In fact, he said, if you would be willing and obedient of the things that I've instructed you in, then you'll be able to eat the good of the land, the fat of the land. You'll be able to receive so much. You'll be able to even, live in houses that you didn't build, drink from wells that you didn't dig,
you know, just eat from fields and vineyards that you didn't have to plant. But that's by being obedient to God's word. God's word said, rest a day. That's a very important aspect of our lives, to take some time and rest, regroup, regenerate, save our minds, we'll save our bodies. He even put in cycles for the land to rest. He even indicated that we should rest all of the things that are under our dominion and control, our sons and daughters, our servants, our animals. Take time to rest. God said rest. God rested. As an example, he showed us the way. He worked 6 days and rested a seventh day. We need to work 6 days, do all that we can. Now, that takes some discipline. We think that there's not enough hours in a day. We think that there's not enough days in the week, but there are. God, in his infinite wisdom, made it that way. Now, we have to use some discipline. Sometimes that discipline says that we have to just say no to some things. There are only so many things that we can do with an hour. There are only so many things that we can do with a minute. Sometimes I'm about to get in a little trouble here, but I tell my wife sometimes that I haven't said this in a while, but sometimes if she sees that there's an extra 10 minutes here, she thinks that there's so many things that I got time to do, and then before you know it, she's overextended, and then now having trouble making it on time for what she's supposed to be on time for, because she's just trying to squeeze so many more activities in what looks like extra time. We have to plan our time. We have to discipline our time. We can't overextend ourselves. If we know we have 24 hours in a day, you know you have to sleep some time. If we know we have 24 hours in a day, there's only so many things that we can do with our waking hours. Discipline yourself. Organize, prioritize, and then plan out your 6 days. This is what I'm going to do in these 6 days. This is what I'm going to do in this hour or whatever. But then you can get to the point where when that seventh day comes, you can just relax. First of all, knowing that all has been done that I have planned to do. And if it's not done, then it goes part of next week's plan. But take that time and rest. You'll be surprised how rejuvenated you are, how fresh you feel, and then how the diseases go away, because so many of them are stress-related, because we are just caught up in this 24/7 society. But let's operate off of God's cycle of 24/6. Work 6 days, do what you have to do for 6 days, and then do what God wants you to do. Rest in him. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So Jesus is about rest. He said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about rest. Jesus is a God of rest. So come to him, turn to him. On that seventh day, focus your eyes on Jesus. Let him give you that divine, perfect rest. And the rest of the ensuing week, will be surprised at how marvelous things will go. There's so much more that I'm even still looking into. It's been inspiring to me. I'm trying to get into that better, into that 24/6 cycle. And I just encourage everyone to make sure that they take that time to rest on the seventh day. It'll do you good, because it's something that's ordained of God.
Amen. Thank you, baby, for giving us that. That is a hard thing to do to completely, because it's really a complete change in what we have been accustomed to doing. We've gotten so far away from resting. We, in the society that we live in, there isn't a rest. But I see that we have two callers that joined us. Hallelujah. And if you want to say something, you don't have to say anything if you don't want to, but if you would like to say something, I'm going to open up your line so that you can give us a testimony or just let us know how you've enjoyed the program thus far. And the area code is 916, and the last four digits are 5442. Are you there, caller? 916-5442. Are you there? Okay. Amen. You don't have to say anything. We're just so glad that you Good morning.
Oh, God bless you this morning. My name is Sister T, and I'm from New Destiny Ministries. And I've called before, and I've listened, and I missed most of it this morning, but I was glad to call this morning. I just thank God for your ministry, and we've been praying for you and your family on your destiny ministry. God bless you.
Thank you. And what was your name again?
They call me Sister T, and my name is Tia.
Sister Tia. Okay. Well, thank you for calling in and joining in with us this morning. We're just so grateful to God for waking you up. And where are you? 916. Where are you located?
Well, I live in Oakland, California, but that's the Sacramento number.
Oh, okay. Okay. Amen. Amen. For getting up early this morning and joining us. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. We appreciate your prayers and always thanking the Lord for all of our listeners that call in and join in with us. You were not on to hear the testimony this morning, but if you go into the archives, you'll be able to hear the awesome testimony of Brother David Thompson that talked about how God has taken him from the streets and not quite to the pulpit, but on his way to the pulpit.
Amen.
So thank God for you joining us this morning. And my other caller, she hung up, or they hung up. It's that you don't have to say anything when you call in. I just want to say we appreciate you calling in. We appreciate you, you know, taking your time out to call in and listen to the testimonies that are given on the broadcast, and praise God for you. Thank God for my husband giving that. It's so inspired me, and like he said, I am one that will try to up and down. I'll do a lot, and then I'll do nothing, and I have to even that out, but the importance of us using that day of rest the way that God has designed for us to do for us, not just for the sake of doing it, but because he knows how he designed our bodies. And even the 7 years of working the land and then allowing it to rest for a year so that the nutrients and everything can be put back in it. That's why I believe we use so many chemicals now to get the land. We don't get the produce from the land the way that we should or the way that we could if we just follow the plan of God who created everything. So, amen. Thank you, baby, for sharing that with us. And we are right at the end of our 2 hours. We actually have 3 hours, but again, we just want to say We thank God for Evangelist Bernard opening up this opportunity for us to allow the testimonies to go forth. We hear so many, we have so many calls for prayer. We have so many calls for ministry, but we don't hear what God has done with what the men and women of God have given out. We don't hear the result of the prayers that go forth. I know that I've called in to several prayer calls, and yes, we do get it out among ourselves and reaching other people that are not necessarily in our group, but just in sharing. But this is a platform where we can get the testimonies out, where we can hear what God is doing. We know that we prayed about something, and we're able to share it. The scripture says, which is where we get the name of our broadcast, they overcame, that's Revelation, the 12th chapter. We overcame, I believe it is, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So we just thank God for every testimony that goes forth. We've had some awesome, awesome, awesome testimonies. We've had where someone was raised from the dead. We've had where someone was miraculously healed in a timely manner. We've had where someone has given their life totally to God after being in the world and doing whatever they thought they were big enough and bad enough to do, prostitution, drugs, selling drugs. The testimony today where Brother David had been shot and shot in his face. Really, they were trying to kill him, but God preserved his life. So we want the world to know that our God is able. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that we can ask or even think. And I know a lot of times we use that scripture for giving, but if you read that passage, it's not talking about money at all. It's talking about just the things that God can do for us. So, amen. I thank God for the testimony of today, and I thank God for this broadcast and the opportunity to have this broadcast to get out the doings of our God and the things that are important to him, that we know that he's doing the things that he's doing. So we are going to end the broadcast, but I'm going to ask my honey if he would end us in prayer.
Amen. And we just thank God for all that has transpired today, for the awesome testimony and even for the inspiration of the word. And we just thank him for all that he's doing, all that he's done, and for every promise that is even yet to come into fruition, because all of his promises are true. It's already done. And we're just excited about seeing and hearing about the manifestation of all those things that he has declared in our lives too. So to every listener, we just say have faith in God, trust in God, believe in God. His word is true, and it cannot come back to him void. But everything that he has spoken will be accomplished in your life
and just be encouraged to know that God has got you in the hollow of his hand, that there is no weapon that is formed against you that can prosper, and the work is already done. We just thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your words of encouragement, your words of wisdom, your words of instruction, your words of peace, your words of healing, your words of deliverance. You are the God that has declared that we are your people and you are our God. And we just thank you that there is no other God before us. And we just pray, Lord God, that you move by your Spirit in the hearts and minds of everyone who listens, who is under the sound of this voice, that they will walk in the blessing that you have declared for them. That we pray, Lord God, for open hearts, open minds, open ears, open hands, Lord God, to receive all that you have. In the name of Jesus, those who have expressed a need for healing, heal them. Those who are expressing and crying out to you right now for deliverance, deliver them, Lord. Those who are seeking salvation, Lord God, let them walk in the salvation that you have already purchased for them when you died upon the cross and rose again with all power in heaven and in earth, breaking the chains of death, hell, and the grave. We know that they shall be cast into hell, into the fire, and burned. Hallelujah. But you have saved us from the pit. You have snatched us from the clutches of Satan. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for this broadcast. Let it grow, Lord God. Let the word spread throughout the world, that they will be able to tune in and hear testimonies. Cause them, Lord God, to dial in and to give their testimonies. Even if they think it's a wrong number, if somehow they dial this number as guided by your Spirit, Lord God, without even knowing what they're doing, because you have something for them to share with the world. Lord God, just send the multitudes, the masses, into this media right now, so that your word can be spread even more throughout the world. In the name of Jesus, bless this broadcast, bless the ministry of New Destiny Ministry, Evangelist Bernard, Lord God, and her vision. Lord God, let blessings come to it. Let the finances come that are needed to keep this broadcast going. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We just thank God for this time, the broadcast, the Overcame. We thank God for all that he's doing in the life of his people. And we thank God for every caller that calls in, for every listener that listens over the internet or who goes into the archives to revisit the things that they've heard or not heard. They've missed the broadcast or whatever, but we just thank God, and we want to ask everyone to share the broadcast with your friends, with your families, even share it with your enemies. They may not be your enemy if you share the broadcast with them, but seriously, share it with everyone. We love to hear what God is doing, and we just want to share it with the world. And tune in to New Destiny Ministry every day at the same call-in number to hear the men and women of God expound the Word of God, the truth, and be uplifted. And until next week, we just want to praise Him.
Forever,
and ever,
and ever.
I just want to give the time for New Destiny Ministry. I don't know if you heard me through the music, but the call-in time at the same number, call-in number, is 1 o'clock Pacific Time, 3 o'clock Central Time, and 4 o'clock Eastern Time. So do tune in to the ministry and hear what God is saying through his men and women of God.
For me. You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor. Everything belongs to you. So we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus.